The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
We're committed to making sure that millions of people can return to their homes and that they can live in peace and security.
The Prez, before he headed off to New York, talking about ISIS and a plot to attack Americans. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you and yours are safe and sound in those nooks and crannies from which you hail. It is always scary, hair-raising, if you will, when you hear that, okay, flammable clothes, undetectable things, and using Westerners, using Americans to come back and attack fellow Americans, getting on planes, coming from other areas in the world, to unsuspecting possibilities of not making it to the other end. Things that were undetectable that had been perfected. So the good news is that it was detected before it happened, which again points to excellent intelligence work, as many of us are quick to beat up the people who are supposed to protect us. Often it works. And I have to say that we still have some of the best intelligence people you could want, pound for pound, no question about it, which is why so many from Langley are often consulted in other cases outside of our borders. So the Khorasan group, partially responsible for what would have been undetectable, horrific things that could have happened in many of our cities in the United States with planes flying back when they're getting ready to land, exploding those planes. But it didn't happen. In fact, what did happen is a huge attack on the Khorasan group. Getting the information first, advancing, striking Syria, halting an al-Qaeda plot that was imminent. And that was part of the Syrian deal, which then puts us in an area where we say, okay, so we didn't wait this time. The last 2 weeks were about getting ready for this, because those airstrikes were aimed at disrupting this attack on either the United States or Europe or both, in the biggest, strongest evidence yet of the growing threat posed by groups like the Khorasan group. There were attacks conducted only by the U.S. separate from the strikes against the Islamic State in which the Arab allies participated. So the Khorasan group attacked only by our U.S. missiles. CENTCOM, Central Command, said 8 strikes were actually launched against the training camps, the command and control facilities, and other sites in an area west of Aleppo, because this is where the Khorasan group was. The president went on to say, in the little clip you heard at the top, that we wouldn't tolerate safe havens for terrorists who threaten our people. The threat of militants trying to recruit Western passport holders to act as mules and carry non-metallic explosives on jets was very, very real, my friends. Pentagon spokesperson Rear Admiral John Kirby confirmed that the plotting was very far along. They don't want to tell us how far it was, but according to my sources, it was within perhaps weeks, and that is frightening to think about that. This is a dangerous group. Good information. They were actively plotting, and they were very close to the end. Could have hit us here in the United States. Because of the airstrikes, what we hear afterwards is that we think we hit what we were aiming for. A critical mission. And if you think of the Al-Qaeda fighters, they're made up of people from Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it includes a bunch associated with Al-Qaeda senior leadership. And they came to Syria to come up with international plots to strategize. They believe that a top strategist, in fact, and finance chief who helped run Al-Qaeda's network in Iran was one of those that was part of the Khorasan group and could have been eliminated. It's interesting because have you ever heard this name? I heard K Group once. Probably it is this group, but I had never heard of Khorasan before. It was just when James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, confirmed that the network was operating in Aleppo and said that they could pose a threat to the U.S. as great as the Islamic State, that more detail started to even emerge a little bit. Because if you remember, he said there's potentially another threat to the homeland. And the members included operatives trained by bomb maker Ibrahim al-Assuri, thought to be behind the attempted bombing of that Detroit plane, if you remember, and another unsuccessful plot in 2010. The plane that was going into Detroit, that was back in 2009, and that was stopped. That was the underwear bomber. TSA is now calling for increased scrutiny of cell phones and of laptops on all U.S.-bound flights as a result of this fresh information on these plots from the Khorasan group. Because just because they struck and maybe really got lucky and hit some of the big fish, if you will, and hit some of the big areas where they were recruiting and training, it does not mean that they have eliminated everybody. Just that they know that they were nearing an execution phase of an attack, and hopefully they got the assets, got them all out, but we don't know that for sure. I mean, these are seasoned Al-Qaeda veterans. In the meantime, on the other side of this, with ISIS, targeted attacks that supposedly also hit their mark as well in Raqqa, which is a stronghold of the Islamic State, really their main base. So that, too, is great news, meaning that we're starting to really flush out some of the bad guys, because now it seems as though it's good versus evil, doesn't it? It really feels like that, too, I got to say. And in conversations, that's what you're hearing from the Arab world. It's a great way to put it. When they're asked about the religion, they say it's not about the religion. It's about the wicked. It's about the wicked versus the good. It's about evil versus the good, however you want to put it. So two big attacks. First, this strike on the Khorasan group in Aleppo, and then Raqqa as well, was rocked, if you will, by coalition attacks, airstrikes, that are starting to wipe out some major equipment and some major forces of this very, very evil, evil group. Coming up, Luke Vargas with more. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
City today, no doubt about it. That's where we start with Luke Vargas from Talk Radio News. Luke, I'm sure that you really burned up the shoe leather talking to a lot of different people, and it was pretty exciting stuff, I think, coming out of the UN. The big thing was the president who was talking about especially meaningful to him the climate change, and that's part of his agenda. Do you think that he really hit the target, so to speak, when he talked about climate change?
Well, I think, you know, we're talking about the UN Climate Change Summit, which was sponsored by Ban Ki-moon here. Just to keep it broad for a second before I go to the president, we had 135 world leaders come to the United Nations. But the representatives from pretty much all the UN member companies showed up, but we did get 135 heads of state, which is pretty spectacular turnout, just to think about it, because, you know, we have the General Assembly begins tomorrow. The president will speak tomorrow, as well as I think it's about 35 other heads of state. But to get them all in one building at the same time on talking on one subject is pretty extraordinary. But at the same time, we were expecting, and the Secretary General was hoping for these leaders to come and give concrete, actionable pledges for what they're going to do to combat climate change. Everyone's expectations were a little different for the United States. The president spoke in a different part of the day's agenda than the rest of the world leaders. He was stuck in there with China, who were sort of the people the two countries that people were really looking forward to the most. And what the United States pledged was very different from a lot of countries. A lot of smaller countries were more concrete. They talked about new emissions targets. They talked about certain financial donations to this climate fund that would help poorer countries adapt to climate change. The president seemed to be going on stage to talk more about the moral implications of not acting on climate change. He did, announce an executive order that we heard about earlier in the morning, which is aimed at helping to steer international development dollars through USAID only to projects that, factor in climate change. It's not a terrible, it's not a policy with, terribly large implications, but it's still meaningful. That said, it's you don't look for the United States to be saying the same kind of thing at a conference like this. The United States is going to be very cautious about playing its hand too early. We're not going to announce our climate change targets until we know what China is going to do, until we know what India is going to do. And for that, we're going to need to wait until probably the first quarter of next year. But I think the president did what he needed to do. A lot of world leaders seem to be very receptive to his comments. And look, even if the U.S. isn't announcing new commitments, he pointed to a lot of progress that's been made just since the beginning of his presidency. So maybe the expectations aren't quite as high for the U.S. at this particular moment.
Yeah, didn't he say there was some of what he outlined was this partnership plan to meet carbon reduction goals by, as you're talking about, these timelines, you know, where it's like, what's really tied to it? By like 2020, I think, is the date I kept hearing.
Yeah, there are benchmarks all over the place. It's funny, I had a spreadsheet open and it got almost unusable, let's say, after about an hour, because everyone is, there were tons of targets and I wrote them down and they were very tweetable and you want to circulate them and pass them on to the public. At the same time, it's comparing apples to oranges. You say Ireland wants to cut emissions by 80% by 2050. Well, what's their baseline? It could be 1990. It could be 2005. People are setting 2020 dates. They're setting 2040 dates. It's all over the place. So, the U.S. did not revise its climate, GHG, greenhouse gas emissions targets. Those stayed the same. The president saying, look, I'm very happy with the goal we've already set. We're not going to change that. But the announcement today on the American side, a little more partnership on technology, helping to share information that American government scientists get with other countries, as well as this what's called the Climate Resilience International Development Initiative. Again, only, sending international development money essentially towards projects that factor in climate change.
Yeah, the big thing, of course, is ISIS and the Syrian strikes and what we know and what seems to be missing in that conversation. Who was consulted and was the UN consulted beforehand? Did you find any of that out?
I didn't find it out. I wish I did. I didn't have the scoops to be able to do it. But what we have figured out is pretty interesting, which is that the United States, using UN Ambassador Samantha Power, did contact the Syrian government last night. She reached out to her counterpart, the Syrian ambassador to the UN, Bashar al-Jafari, telling him, look, U.S. strikes are imminent. Immediately after we launched those airstrikes within Syria, Samantha Power sent a letter to the Secretary General. This is basically something you're supposed to do as a Security Council member immediately after executing a strike like that. He said, we did this. Here's why we did it. He cited collective self-defense, as well as basically saying the areas we hit were only areas where the Syrian government does not have any control anymore. And what I found very fascinating today was that the Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, in the middle of a press conference about climate change, I believe it was about forests at the time, interrupted that press conference to just sort of read out a statement about the airstrikes in Syria. And I found it pretty fascinating. He essentially gave a pretty tacit, acceptance, a tip of the hat towards the United States for doing this. He applauded international efforts in recent weeks to confront the Islamic State and other terrorist groups. And he cited this precise argument that Samantha Power made, saying, look, this is, you obviously need to make sure you don't hit civilians. You need to try and follow international law. But these strikes were done in an area where a government didn't really have control. So I kind of give it my blessing. And I think that's pretty fascinating because, on one hand, I love climate change issues, and I wish that this extraordinary summit could creep onto page A1. And I do have to say, I think, you know, because of the timing of these Syrian airstrikes, this climate summit has really been pushed pretty far down the headlines. What has happened, though, is that in the run-up to the General Assembly, which starts tomorrow, and all these world leaders are here, the U.S. seems to have played their hand pretty well. It was looking rocky the last few days. Whether or not John Kerry was going to be able to cobble together enough allies, particularly on the Syrian side of this mission, our support really looked pretty weak by all accounts. And then the timing of this strike gets the world's attention. Ban Ki-moon sort of seems to give it the A-OK. And we are now learning more and more about the international partners that the U.S. Counted on here. We've been told that a number of countries, including Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates, all participated to some degree in those airstrikes. And now, tomorrow, Turkey will give their big General Assembly speech, a country that has been pretty reluctant up until now to join the U.S. fight. And I would, you know, condition my reluctance by saying they've just said they're not going to do it at all to help this coalition mission. They're now sort of up against the wall. People say, look, you guys are so much a part of the problem. We need your help here. And I think by getting that somewhat of a seal of approval on the international law side of things, there might be more countries coming forward in the coming days at the General Assembly pledging support to this mission. The timing seems to have been pretty excellent.
Yeah, I agree with you on the timing thing. And lastly, where would we be if we didn't have hot mics and David Cameron with the hot mic and people are talking about it? I know all over England they were talking about it. What happened? What was said?
Well, this was pretty brilliant. Of course, last week, David Cameron avoided political, you know, disaster for himself and for all of Great Britain with that Scottish independence vote failing. He apparently was talking to Michael Bloomberg on the sidelines of today's climate summit at the United Nations, and some microphone picked up him saying, quote, he's referring to Queen Elizabeth here about her apparent anxiety about the outcome of that independence referendum. David Cameron said, quote, "You purred down the line. I've never heard someone so happy." You know, and then he goes on to say that he wants to try to sue the polling companies that had all these results, you know, a few weeks ahead of the vote, showing that the pro-independence camp might win. He told Michael Bloomberg he wanted to sue him because of the stomach, sue these polling companies because of the stomach ulcers that he caused him. I thought that kind of redeemed himself, but you can't escape that swipe at the Queen. I think it's funny, but boy, nowhere is safe for these world leaders.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Luke Vargas, General Assembly. I'm sure you got to rest up for that. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight, as always.
Sure thing. Take care.
Bye-bye.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
More than 50 countries have now agreed to join this effort to combat ISIL, including the Arab countries that joined us last night in taking military action in Syria. We will not allow geography or borders to prevent us from being able to take action against ISIL. And we will not allow them to have a safe haven where they think they can have sanctuary against accountability.
I think it's absolutely critical that Congress complete the authorization that it began last week when it voted on the arming of moderate elements in Syria.
All right, lots of opinions flying around, different aspects on the crush of ISIS or ISIL and all of the groups involved in making that happen. You just heard there at first Secretary of State Kerry talking about no borders and geography and how there's 50 countries. We don't know all the specifics of what they're doing, but they're involved. And then Senator Tim Kaine talking about how critical it was for Congress to take the ball and now run all the way down the court and make this happen and become a reality, talking about the monies that are needed to fund our efforts. I think the big effort on the day that gets the big A++, and there's no way you can take this away from the administration, or anyone for that matter, the fact that they were all over this hornet's nest, the Khorasan group in Aleppo, and were able to knock them out since they were very close, my friends, to putting people on planes with undetectable types of weapons that could blow those planes out of the sky over some city in the United States or in other places in Europe, and they were very, very close to making that become a reality. And that Khorasan group had funding, had a lot of brain power, and they were working hard in getting the bombs to work, looking at previous mistakes like the underwear bomber and perfecting the techniques, knowing full well what they would be able to get by the TSA people, and that's frightening. We skirted what could have been a disaster, thanks to great intelligence, too, by the way. On the other front, when it comes to these targeted airstrikes, after seeing the men in black and boys marching through streets, waving their flag of hatred and trying to take out as many people as possible while they're recruiting others with those passports, valuable assets to them from other countries so they can do similar things and get them back into the countries where they're from, or not even having them come to train or be part of a recruitment wave, instead sending out video and social media messages trying to entice people to come over to the dark side and do things like pull people off the street and stab them or shoot them, like what happened in Australia, going after a couple of police officers, not suspecting they were going to be stabbed. It's very, very scary. Speaking of scary, too, as well, I think it's very sad what happened in the case of this Alabama UPS shooting. Apparently a man who was going to his pastor asking for prayers, was worried about his finances, and was let go from the UPS job that he held, was distraught enough, from what we can glean and read into this, to go in his uniform, go back to where he worked, and shoot two people, and then shoot himself, opening fire, killing two people, and then taking his own life. By the time the Birmingham Police Department, who were right on this, got into the building where he was, they found three people dead, including the guy with the gun, who died from what they could tell was self-inflicted wounds, the gunshot wound. So they're being very careful about how they process and are processing aspects of the crime scene. UPS released a statement confirming that the people had been killed and that there was a recently terminated employee that was dead. And then they were notifying people. But, of course, when something like this happens, UPS says that they're worried about the safety of their employees and their focus is to assist the families and the victims and the people who work there. And because it's always, you know there's a possibility of someone snapping, and it happens in an instant. But when it happens, and I used to say this all the time on this show, schools, churches, where you work, why does this happen? I mean, why does this happen? It is so depressing. The Alabama governor said, what you always say when this happens, thoughts and prayers are with the families and coworkers of the people who died. And just that they have resources that they're going to use to try to determine a cause. But when somebody takes themselves out, there's nothing that you can do. I mean, there's nothing you can do other than try to make the workplace environment safer. But how do you know when someone is let go, and maybe they're rightfully let go, that they're going to come back and turn on you and it becomes a workplace disaster? If you remember, back in the spring, there was a FedEx worker who didn't kill but wounded six people in Georgia, then killed himself. And that was shocking and awful and not what somebody is expecting, going on a rampage in the place where they were working and then dying. And this was a 19-year-old in that case, 19-year-old. And there was a ton of 911 calls, and people were cowering behind doors and trying to get out and trying to do, you know, whatever they could to get away, to scramble. And luckily, in that case, you had a couple of people who were seriously wounded, but they survived. They survived what happened. And we had on America Tonight, if you want to hear the interview, go to americatonight.net and click on what you missed. We had on Colin Goddard, if you remember Virginia and the rampage there. He was shot 5 times, and he survived that, and he talks about what that was like. One of those unsuspecting places, as I mentioned, school. You're at school, and you're not thinking or looking for somebody to come in and shatter your world. How about in the odds and ends category, on a lighter side, the upcoming lottery is when, once it gets up to, you know, when you're talking about like 200 million, people start to pay attention. And the Powerball lottery, I'm not sure how many states it's in. According to Matt Johnson, he informed me of the total. I always think if he doesn't show up one day, folks, I know he won the lottery. 225 million is what it is. 100, which would mean if you got what they call the cash option, you'd get $134 million, which would be so shocking. Except for if you're like these tennis players. It's the craziest thing. Caroline Wozniacki, who we've interviewed here on America Tonight, and I just saw her at the U.S. Open. She played her good friend Serena, and she finished second to her. Serena won the U.S. Open, but she forgot to pick up her check for $1.45 million from the U.S. Open. That's what she got for being the runner-up. So after it all unfolded, she got her shower, got ready, and jumped in the car and left. She left. So she forgot her money. They had to, I think they were a half an hour away and realized that. And so she had to, they had to turn around and they had to go get the check. And then what she said was, she doesn't concern herself with finances, barely keeping track of the $10 million a year she earns in endorsement deals with companies like Rolex and Adidas. And she says, I don't think about my brand. She told the Wall Street Journal that, I want to do well for myself and my sponsor, but I'm feeling pressure because I don't play for the money. I thought it was interesting. She said, I have enough to eat, to buy nice shoes. For me, it's about the tennis and the trophies. I'm not motivated by money. I guess if you're making $10 million in endorsements, it is pretty easy to say you're not necessarily motivated by the money. And how wild is that, that she took off and then realized that she forgot to pick up her prize money? Very few people could say that. As long as I have enough to eat and I can buy some shoes, I'm okay. But, of course, I have plenty of dough so that I'm not thinking about it. Of course she's not thinking about it. I really like her, though. She's not thinking about it because it's just about the competition. It's not on her mind. In other words, there are so many other things to worry about other than worrying about the big payday coming in second. All right, and congratulations, too, as well, because I know we have some people listening to us that are big Bucks fans. I got some emails from you. Woohoo! The Pittsburgh Pirates in the playoffs again. Last year they got into the playoffs after a 21-year drought. Now they're back in. How far can they go? But they clinched a wild card spot. That means that they get to at least try to go deeper into the playoffs and get as close as they can, and maybe, who knows, win the World Series. Very, very hard to do, however. Very, very hard to do. All right, stay with us. We got more coming your way next. Here on America Tonight, talking about corporal punishment or punishment of the wrong sort in relation to the Minnesota Vikings former star running back. Anyway, it's looking like that chat with Richard Greenberg. Hang through.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Is your money manager giving you safety and security? Wouldn't you like to make your money work harder for you? Then you should consider joining PhilsGang.com, where thousands of individual investors have successfully profited.
This year I'm up 60% on my portfolio. Following your system has been fantastic. I've been with you for about a month and a half now, and I'm already up 7%.
I've been in the business for a long time, and you're really one of the best I've ever heard.
Well, I just want to let you know how great, what a great teacher you are.
For over a decade, PhilsGang.com's Phil Grandy and Donald Cogswell have been teaching, coaching, and investing right along with all Phil's Gang members.
I want to thank Donnie for Market Wrap. So I bought 2,500 shares of AUI and sold it this morning at $820 profit.
Why not join thousands of satisfied Phil's Gang customers today? Go to PhilsGang.com. PhilsGang.com or call 877-600-4264. That's 877-600-4264. Call today.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
I couldn't believe it. Someone recently asked me if I had a facelift because I'm looking so much younger. I was stunned. How would that make you feel? It's because of my new anti-aging lotion that lifts, firms, and has dramatically reduced my crow's feet. You know you're ready to look younger. So call now and receive a GCN special offer. 1-844-500-0815. That's 1-844-500-0815. Or visit faceliftlotion.com.
You don't have my number, but we don't need each other now. We don't need the city, the creed or the culture.
Talking a lot about what's going on in the NFL, particularly with Adrian Peterson and then the remarks Charles Barkley made afterwards and all of the conversation about spanking children. He was on with us before. He's terrific. He's in our virtual green room or in a car in Los Angeles. Richard Greenberg, the author of the book Raising Children That Other People Like to Be Around. Hey, Richard, thanks for coming back on America Tonight.
My pleasure, Kate. Great to be here.
So, Adrian Peterson, that story breaks, and I bet a lot of people were having this discussion with you about the fact that he hit his 4-year-old son, or they're saying whipped him with a switch, and then you saw the pictures where you could see that he was cut and there were some welts and had been bleeding in some spots. And of course, now this is, he's going through a criminal process. And in the meantime, there's also the court of public opinion and then being put out by the Minnesota Vikings on the exempt list for now. How strange was that to hear that story, especially knowing how you raise your children and the conversations you've had about how to discipline kids?
You know, it's really interesting. This story has really opened the door to a lot of conversations about discipline and corporal punishment. And I think, you know, what it has illustrated most is that there's a limit to what you should do when you're disciplining your children, and that Adrian Peterson crossed over the line where it comes to the difference between discipline and abuse. And I think that, you know, it is a private matter in each home as to how you want to discipline your children. But I think that when your child is injured and ends up being taken to a medical professional, you've gone too far. And, you know, I don't want to get into those fine hairs about, well, what is not too far and what isn't. I think that for many people, in my case, you know, I was spanked a lot, and a lot of this is generational, by the way, but you know, my skin was never torn, and I never ended up with welts, but I did know people whose parents hit them with belts and who hit them with switches, and, you know, they sort of took that punishment. I think we have evolved as a society, and I think that we can do better, and so even in my own personal case, you know, my wife, after we have four children, we had three boys and a girl, and our oldest boy is 34 now, and then our second is 30, and our third is 25. So I had plenty of time to sort of evolve through the process. And I ultimately learned how I could discipline them and make a physical impact on them without literally hitting them to make that impact. That I could hold their little arm, and I could look them in the eye, and I could say, this is not okay. And just by holding their arm, I was accomplishing what a lot of parents try to do with that physical pain thing, which is I was saying to them, I'm bigger than you. I'm in control here. You shouldn't mess with me. You need to do what I say. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that to your child. I think your children want to know someone's in control.
Yeah. And in this debate process, as you describe what you did and then what happened to you as a child, you know that there are people coming out of the woodwork, including in Adrian Peterson's life, to say, well, this is what we do. I mean, his mother said, this is how we discipline. This is what we do. He didn't do anything wrong. But the problem is there are a lot of people, and depending on culturally how they were raised, as you mentioned in your case, but there's a way to break that cycle, right? That, you know, we've evolved. We're different now. It's different than in my grandfather's day when they went out to the backyard and grabbed a switch. I don't know that you can use that as an excuse anymore, do you think?
No, I don't think that that's a legitimate excuse. I think all of us have what are called ghosts in our nursery. And the ghosts that we have in our nursery are the voices of our parents when we go into the nursery to deal with our child. And one of the things I advocate in my book is that you sit down with the person you're raising this child with and you try and identify what those ghosts are. The good ghosts, you know, the ones that read you a story when you went to sleep and told you they loved you and helped you feel good about yourself. And the bad ghosts, which were the ones that reduced your self-image, that criticized you constantly and that hit you. And you say to that person, you say to your spouse, I'm not going to hit my kids because that really made me feel lousy. And if I do hit my kids, I want you to remind me of this. Or if you see me headed in that direction, I want you to head me off and say, we agreed that you weren't going to do this. So, you know, cease and desist. And then not get into the argument about it in front of your child. That is just something that you set up as a, you know, my wife and I had a code word, which ironically was my father's name. And she would say, you know, Max. And that meant, uh-oh, I'm behaving like my dad and I better tone it down. And then, you know, it also meant we can talk about that later, but right now you're not doing what you want to do with regard to our child. So recognizing the ghost in our nursery is absolutely crucial, and I don't think we need to repeat what they did, and I don't think it's a good excuse.
Yeah, well said. I mean, because this whole thing of trying to measure what's reasonable and what's the right thing to do disciplinary-wise, and is it legal in every state for parents to hit their children if the force is reasonable, this is something we talked about. And as you know, it is. But there's that line, and then it comes down to what the action is and what is considered abusive. And it's so sad that in some cases, don't you think, Richard, that we're splitting hairs over something so serious that will affect somebody and stay with them for the rest of their life? Am I right?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, I think that the concept that you have to have the law decide whether you've abused your child or not is a little crazy. I mean, I don't necessarily want to take this to the point that the law is deciding. There was a famous decision. decision once made about obscenity, which was, well, how do you know what's obscene? How do we rule what's obscene? And the judge who made the ruling said, I can tell what the difference is between something obscene and something not obscene. And it wasn't very acceptable, although in this regard, a common sense person can look at the way you punished your child and say whether or not it's abuse. I mean, it's pretty clear that when you're breaking somebody's skin, you're abusing them. And, well, let's put it this way. That message doesn't have to be that severe. Okay, whether or not, no matter how hard you hit your child or whatever it is, I'm not going to make that ruling. There are other ways to tell your child to stop behaving badly, and they don't involve physically harming your child. They could involve making an impression on your child physically, but they do not involve hitting your child and making them, you know, have to get medical attention because you've broken their skin or caused them to bruise. I just don't think that's a good way to communicate. And yes, we, as a society, we've changed, and it used to be fine to do whatever you wanted to do with your kid because it was your kid and you were going to snap them into line. But the bottom line is we're smarter than that now. And, you know, on my own personal level, I'm smarter than that now because I'm a guy who had that knee-jerk reaction that was the way my father treated me, that was whack. You know, it's like you don't want to get in trouble with me. But, you know, my kids managed to survive a punishment like a spanking or two. And then what happened is that, you know, the legend of dad getting that angry trickled down and none of them wanted me to get that angry. But I never hit them with anything other than, like, my open hand, and I hit them on the bottom. And that was, you know, it happened once or twice, and it didn't have to happen after that.
Yeah. Well, we're speaking with Richard Greenberg, author of the book Raising Children That Other People Like to Be Around. And as I mentioned at the tail end of that, it really sticks with children, doesn't it? You just don't get over it. I've heard people say, well, they'll get over it. But that's not true, is it?
Well, you know, from my point of view, it was interesting. My father just had a habit of smacking me when he was unhappy with my behavior. And, that could be walking down the street, and I might have said something to him that was, in his perception, defiant. And he would hit me. And at a certain point, I was big enough to turn around and start to hit him back and then decided not to. And I think at that point, he realized he shouldn't. But the primary emotion that occurs to me when I think about it was humiliation. That it is humiliating to have somebody impose their physical strength on you in a way that makes you so helpless. And for me, I learned that I could get a hold of my child and hold them by their arms, look them in the eye, and drop myself down to their height and say, this behavior is completely unacceptable. If you continue to do this, then things will be worse for you. And that was usually enough. I didn't have to say what might be worse. They got the hint. And, I think that we learn a lot over time. And I do think that you can, you know, you like if you hit anything too often, it becomes sort of gun-shy or afraid of the switch or whatever. And I think you don't want your children to fear you or your authority. You want your children to admire you and to look up to you and to appreciate you. And it becomes harder to do that if they're afraid of you physically because you're not reliable and you may smack them at any minute.
Yeah, well said. Richard, enjoy the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.